Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Can't we be sweethearts?
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation.
From the start, you're the girl I'm thinking of. Oh, can't you
opening up
see
with the cleft tones before we get into the deaf tones. Called Washington, D.C., the deaf ones. The deaf, dumb, and blind leaders of the Western world. Leading this great nation over the abyss. With the apologist-in-chief, Barack Hussein Obama, for the whole world to finally see an immature college professor ogling a 16-year-old's behind. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number from anywhere in the United States of America. That's 800-449-8255. If you care to go online and not call me, it's michaelsavage.com. Quite a week of news when you think about it. When you look back upon this week, and you look at what went on from the time Obama was giving away one-third of America's nuclear arsenal, agreeing to dismantle it, that is, while you were worshiping a pill popper's gold coffin. Now, I called him the king of pill popping on Tuesday. The New York Post stole that and just published that this afternoon. They finally got around to putting it in the right context. They smelled that the wind was blowing finally against Michael Jackson. They finally had the courage to say the right thing. My hat's off to the New York Post. But the fact of the matter is, that's how Obama gets away with it, because of the government media complex. They keep you blinded, and he does exactly what the far left expects him to do. I don't have a specific question for you on the Savage Nation, but it is Open Mic to Mike Friday. The phone number again is 800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game. I'd like to open with a comment rather than a question. I was out on a boat today with a few men, new friends, one of whom, it turns out, is a big fan of the show. Let me back up a bit. When people don't know who I am, and I don't tell them who my name is, and I'm in a group, if I talk quietly, they don't know me. But the minute I raise my voice and they hear the command voice, they say, "Do you know Michael Savage?" And I say, "Well, yeah, I am him." Either they love me or they say, "Wow, whatever." So one of the gentlemen says he loves the show, keep it up, etc. Another man on the boat said to me, he didn't know the show, and he said to me, "Are you politically conservative or politically liberal?" I said, "I tend to be very conservative politically, but on some issues, I have no specific political orientation." I said, "You see, Captain, if you fix your course and lock it in, and set it in either the left or the right direction, you're going to crash into another boat or into a piling or into a landmass. You can't fix your boat in one course and not expect to crash. It's the same politically. You can't get locked into an orthodoxy and say, I'm a conservative. No matter what the issue is, I'm a conservative. Or no matter what the issue is, I'm a far left person. Because inevitably, you're going to wind up crashing into something. And so therefore, sure, generally, I'm very conservative politically. But on certain issues, I wouldn't define myself in any such manner. In fact, on certain issues, you could define me in the exact opposite manner. For example, when it comes to animals and animal rights, how would you define me? Conservative? Doesn't matter how you define me. I believe that most animals are innocent, especially the animals that are left alone, and that if they're tortured by humans, the human should be tortured. So that leads to the first story, the running of the bulls in Pamplona. I have hated this from the day I first saw it. Torturing animals. I hate bullfighting. I think people who do it are cowards. And I know that the Spanish culture elevates it with the swords and the picadors, the matadors, the hatadors, the latadors. You know what? Screw them all. They're a bunch of cowards as far as I'm concerned. And I looked into the history of bullfighting, which is a barbaric, horrendous sport that should be banned worldwide, in my opinion. And you know what I discovered? Exactly what I thought. Because I am a student of history, I was able to intuit that this barbaric sport had been introduced to Spain by the Muslims during the invasion. You didn't know this. That is correct. I believe in the 8th or 9th century or somewhere thereabouts, the Muslims who had invaded Europe brought with them their fine sport of torturing bulls in a ring. And, of course, the Spanish, after having been conquered, dropped some of the invaders' cultural, let us say, proclivities, but not others. And so, as I say, if you want to talk about that, go ahead. You can call me or not call me. But if I actually think it's a reasonable topic, which is, should bullfighting be banned? And I'd like to discuss that. There's another topic, which is Barack Obama ogling a 16-year-old girl's behind. Now, it's all over the internet. Drudge got the first picture up last night. My hat's off to her. My folks found out who she was, that she's a 16-year-old Brazilian aide. We don't know exactly how she aids the politicians, but we know that politicians in Brazil are not constrained by the same politically correct reins that our politicians are constrained by. And what passes for normal behavior in Brazil would put a politician in jail here. But putting that aside, famous picture, the world's buzzing about it, Obama staring at a 16-year-old girl's behind at an international summit. What happens today is expected. The vermin in the media, the left-wing liars on ABC's Goodbye America, tries to defend Obama from the obvious allegations he was staring at a young girl's behind at the G8 summit. You've never heard such lies in your life. Listen to...
There is a photo. It's at the G8 summit. It's causing quite a buzz. Take a look at it. Appears to show President Obama
and
French President
Sarkozy
video. Seems to be a little different story. Obama may be watching his footing, maybe looking at the steps, maybe letting her pass, as opposed to a checkout. Take a look.
Yes.
Let me let her go. I hope I don't fall down these stairs. Sarkozy, not so clear. Not so clear.
It's so deceiving when you look at it. But don't you love that the French can just go like,
not
if they want
not
to,
not to stereotype, but...
Ooh la la!
Yeah.
It is the Savage Nation, the Friday edition. We're having very slight technical problems. Please bear with us if the sound quality that you're receiving is slightly under par. We're going to get that back up if we can in a very short period of time. The MPLS is out. We're on a Telos backup system for those of you who understand technology. And yesterday we had the same thing as the result of some storms. Before the break, I was talking about bullfighting being a barbaric sport, and I said it should be banned, not so much because I care about the people who torture the animals and get injured from time to time, but because the animals do not deserve to be tortured, in my opinion. And I'd like your opinion on that if you wish, the phone number being 1-800-449-8255. In Florida, Tony, you're the first up. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I just want to comment. I agree with you 100% regarding the bullfighting. And you know, I got to be honest, every year that this goes on, I secretly hope that at least one of these idiots in the streets is killed. And I got to say, I smiled when I saw this. It's a good payback.
Well, it was the first time anyone's been mortally wounded in over 20 years, I believe. It's not every year that it happens. They get injured, the morons who get drunk and think that they're Ernest Hemingway. But the actual, you know, ending like this, and Pamplona's San Fermin Festival with a death, is not that often. It's not the people I care about in this case. It's the animals, you know. And by the way, this was one of the smallish bulls. He was just over a ton. His name was Cappuccino, right? But the fact of the matter is you've got mobs of insane people torturing these thundering beasts, and what happened here is one of the bulls strayed from the pack, got spooked and charged at anything that moved. And this was the first fatality in 15 years because the rogue bull gored a young Spaniard in the neck. And the victim was killed almost instantly as he scurried for cover under a wooden barrier, sliding under it feet first. So there it is. There he is. They say had he dived head first, the experienced bull runner and son of a Pompano native would probably still be alive. Nine people injured, etc. So the running of the bulls, made famous by Hemingway's novel, The Sun Also Rises, you know, is what it is. Everyone thinks they're Hemingway when they get drunk and run down there. But I feel bad for the bull cappuccino because they torture them, by the way. After torturing them with the picadors and then killing them, before they kill them, they torture the poor animal, you know. So what do you think about that?
It's horrible, and I think it should be banned. And as I said, I am very pleased that somebody was killed.
Well, I can't say I'm pleased somebody was killed. That would, what does that make us if we say we're pleased? I don't think we should say it's great. But on the other hand, the sport itself is what needs to be looked at. You know, thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, New York City, WOR. Brian, go ahead, please.
Mike, I just...
Brian, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I just watched the YouTube video, and Barack wasn't looking at the woman at all. All he was doing was helping a woman off a stage.
Yeah. Which network do you work for, ABC or CBS?
I didn't vote for the African. I would never vote.
Nothing to do with his ethnicity. He's a hornball. That's all. The object here is to remember that the man embarrassed the presidency. Do you think it's appropriate for a president to stare at a 16-year-old's behind? I guess we lost we lost him too, so now I'm losing my Telos. I guess my crew is busy eating fish on Fish Friday. 1-800-449-8255. Now I have no internet. I have no Assist Pro. I have no nothing. MichaelSavage.com. You can still go on my website. Guys, just put callers up because I can't select them right now. Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's your comment?
What America needs is true journalists and news writers that can bring about a centralized level of accountability that's never been seen before. You know, these lapdogs and the current outlets, they're just not doing it. We got a lot of voters' remorse, and the time has come now to centralize all these watchdog groups into one inclusive source.
Wait, what did you say? Centralize what?
Centralize all the watchdog groups and the, you know, people that kind of value...
Well, what do you mean by centralize? Who's going to control them and run them?
Like a collective effort, if you will, just because that's the goal of each.
I don't understand. What, you want collectivism to save America?
No. I want a place where people can go to actually see real journalism, where they don't have to go
here. Okay, let's start from the bottom. Where do you go for your news?
I go to your radio station. Sometimes I go online. Sometimes I go to Huffington.
All right, but let's forget my radio show. You're talking about journalism, not commentary, not verbal commentary or oral commentary, whichever you prefer. Where do you go for your information? You don't look at websites?
I do sometimes. I do like the Wall Street Journal, you know, but it's a conservative paper. It's hard to find, you know, quality, you know, writing.
Well, I don't know that the Wall Street Journal is a conservative paper at all. They're in favor of illegal immigrants being granted amnesty. Are you aware of that?
That I do not agree with.
Well, but they're not a conservative paper by any means. You know, they once were, and some of the writers are, but by and large, they represent Goldman Sachs rather than the U.S. of A.
I guess.
They salute GS, not the U.S. That's not bad. Thank you for the call. Hey, do we still have the salute that I once did? I pledge allegiance to Goldman Sachs. Let's hear that so that people know what I'm talking about. Play it.
Pledge allegiance to the stock of Goldman Sachs of Wall Street and to the gang for which it stands, one gang, indivisible, with liberty and profits for them.
See, that was what we did once we saw who was running America. These are people who are loyal to GS, not the U.S. 1-800-449-8255. Jim in San Diego, you like bullfighting. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I do like bullfighting, and my goal is not to convert anybody to liking bullfighting. But there's a little more to it. quite a bit more to it than I think your opening comments were. For one thing, the idea that it started with the Moors is a very dubious history. There's history.
Well, hold on now. Just because you're using a dubious, let's see, dubious, that's a three-syllable word, doesn't make you three times as correct.
Well, it's...
What is your historical reference to the fact that the Moors did not introduce bullfighting?
That the Spaniards were hunting bulls from horseback before the Moors arrived. And the fighting of bulls from horseback really began to be used as a way for soldiers to practice their horsemanship and their war techniques from horseback.
Well, I can cite my reference to the fact that the Arabs or the Moors introduced bullfighting to Spain, but let's deal with that at a separate time since we can argue over that. And both of us might be wrong, by the way, or both of us might be right in one way or another. What is it about bullfighting that you find noble?
Okay, what I think it is, you know, we live in a world that has become so much a nanny state that any kind of a risk is completely prohibited. You know, we're required to...
Wait a minute. I don't care about the risk. I don't care about the risk to the bullfighter. I care about the torturing of the bull.
Well, it's... When you fight a bull, and I have fought many bulls myself, there is a certain feeling of controlling a wild animal. It's much like training an animal. And the fact that the bull dies is, you know, just the cost of bullfighting, just like bulls are killed.
When you say you fought many bulls, in what capacity? As a professional or as a tourist who goes to Mexico and pays a drunk to stab a bull?
No. A very serious amateur.
You enjoy tormenting bulls because they can't really hurt you. You're protected at all turns. And
no.
It gives you a sense of machismo. You and Hemingway are about the same in that regard.
Savage.
All right, welcome back to Rock and Roll Friday and the Savage Nation. We're talking about, well, just about any topic you'd like. It's open mic to Mike Friday, bullfighting, torturing animals, Obama torturing the Constitution, Obama basically debasing the White House and the presidency with his behavior, not only his staring at a young girl's behind, which, of course, is very unpresidential. I can imagine what would have happened if the unthinkable had happened and George Bush had done something like this. You could imagine what the press would have said. But instead, when we see a clear picture of Obama staring at a young girl's derriere and leering at her at a world summit, they have the nerve on ABC to say he wasn't doing it. This is amazing to me how far Diane Sawyer has fallen. Over the last 20 years, the woman has gone from being a reasonable journalist into what she has become, which is less than zero. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Let's have some rock and roll in the Savage Nation, please. I'm so sick of the news right now. I can't believe what I'm looking at here. I'll turn that off. I don't want to hear that. That's so corny. No, I don't want to hear it. Joe Biden, he's our vice president. He says there are no private meetings going on, just meetings closed to the press. Let me repeat that. Your Democrat vice president said there are no private meetings going on in the White House, quote, just meetings closed to the press. That would make Joseph Stalin very proud indeed. This is what the Democrats bring. Closed government, and Stalinist behavior with a giant smiley face. Now we see that the Russian leader has told Mr. Obama, the apologist in chief, that you must not build a missile shield to protect Europe. You must leave the Europeans open to Russian nuclear attack. If you want to be a good boy, you don't build a missile shield for the Europeans. You do the right thing. And we'll make sure that you get the Order of Lenin. New York City, WOR, Greg, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate for this call. I wanted to talk about Obama and everything. I think it's atrocious what he's doing. I mean, how is he supposed to set a higher example for our children? I mean, he's the president, for God's sakes. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a terrible
thing. Well, did you see the picture of the president staring at the young girls, Derrier?
I did, and I can't believe a couple callers ago was saying that that he wasn't even looking. I mean, it clearly is. I mean, please back on the
street. But all over the world, people are commenting on him and Sarkozy being the dirtbags they are.
I mean,
you know, it's one thing for you say, well, ordinary men do this, and I agree with you. Would you expect the president to be little more than ordinary?
He should be if he's running this country. You know what I mean?
He should be. Well, I guess he isn't. I guess he's just another guy. That's all. Thanks for the call. Texas, Eric, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
It's about the Bulls. You are right on, man. What are they thinking? What is going through their minds? It's not right. Oh, we're going to have a bullfight. Oh, it's okay. It's not okay, and it's not right.
Well, let me ask you something else. Are you generally an animal rights fanatic, like a PETA kind of person?
I wouldn't say that, but I believe that man...
Hold it. Are you a vegetarian or do you eat animal products?
I do, yes. Love meat.
Okay. All right. That's different, and I'll tell you why. There is a difference between humane slaughter of domestic stock raised for food and taking an animal and torturing a noble beast until it can no longer think in any rational manner, tormenting it and then killing it. That is called torture.
Right.
You know, there's not a religion on earth that supports the torture of animals. You know that.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm very clear on it. I've been against bullfighting for a very long time. I don't know what's noble about it. And I'd like somebody to please explain it to me. I mean, my mind is made up. That is true. But I'm sure there are people who love it. As the man two callers ago said, he's done it. And he thinks it's very noble. I'd like to know what's noble about torturing an animal. I don't understand it. Okay, let's put it to you this way. Is it a fair fight? Well, you could say, okay, the bull is big. It's 2,000 pounds or more. It has two horns, which are equal to a sword, two swords. So where is the advantage in the man standing there with the red cape? Well, let's look at that. The animal is first warmed up by picadors who come out and torture the animal to provoke it by sticking barbed, hooked sticks into the flesh of the animal until it can no longer stand the pain. And it is in such agony from the pain of the picadors that it starts charging blindly out of frustration and rage. You consider that to be noble? I consider that to be torture, and I think bullfighting should be banned around the world, in my opinion. I'll take your opinion, whatever you want on that, or Obama torturing the presidency. New York City, Dan, WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi, Dr. Savage. Before my comment about Obama and the woman's rear, I just want to say that you have changed my life for the better.
All right, and?
And the reason for that is because after a long day of mundane working on my way home, you make me think about life. You make me think about the afterlife.
All right, that's good. I'm a Renaissance man. I've been around. I have higher education. I've, you know, done a lot of things, and I have a gift to be able to project that for people. And I appreciate it when I reach people such as yourself. But we disagree apparently on Obama staring at the young girls behind.
Yes. Well, the thing is, you know, I saw this on Drudge last night. And I see why they're making a big deal out of it, because it's like, oh, the president got caught looking at a woman's behind, but so what? So he got caught, you know?
Let's talk. When I first saw the picture last night at approximately this time last night or a little later, I was the first one on the radio to say, well, at least he's human. Remember, were you listening last night?
Yes, I was.
My first reaction was, big deal, at least he's a human being. Thank God he wasn't looking at a boy. I said that, okay? I said, at least we've got something to look forward to with Obama. At least he has normal impulses. That's the first thing I said, Dan. But on further reflection, I think it shows a lack of self-control, number one. And you can argue that no one can argue that it diminishes the presidency to see a president. Even Bill Clinton wouldn't have been seen staring at someone's behind. Bill Clinton was discreet enough to do his dirty work in the Lincoln bedroom. He didn't do it in public. You know, you got to hand Bill Clinton that. He was a cornball, a horn dog, whatever. But whatever he did quietly, whether it was in the White House toilet or in the Lincoln bedroom. But this one couldn't control himself for a minute. He has to be seen ogling. What was it? He was goofing around with that dirtbag Frenchman Sarkozy and looking at girls' behinds like ordinary guys at a ball game? It just shows you the trouble we're in the Western Hemisphere. You know, you got to say to yourself, let's look at this from the point of view of a Muslim who is very religious, not fanatic, but very, very orthodox Muslim, very proper, like an orthodox Christian or an orthodox Jew. Let's start with that. What they look at when they see this is decadence and a Western civilization that's not worthy of respect. That's what I'm getting at, Dan. I cannot imagine a Muslim leader staring at a girl's behind at a conference. Let me put it to you that way. I think he'd lose his position. I think they'd throw him out of office for having disrespected both the religion and the office that he represented. That's what I'm getting at. Thanks for the call. Think about what I just said to you. In other words, there's nothing inherently perverse in a man looking at a woman's derriere as she goes by. Most ordinary men do it. But a president is not ordinary. He's not supposed to be, and he's supposed to have greater self-control than an ordinary man. He's not supposed to have his head swiveling around every time a pretty girl goes by. Why? Well, I'll let you figure out why. So that's my opinion. I wouldn't raise this to the level of, nuclear war, but all right, that's all. So we got two things to talk about. Bullfighting and bull something or else, whatever. Mississippi Bob, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. I saw my first bullfight back in the early days of satellite, back in the mid-80s when the big satellite dishes came out and you could intercept shows from Mexico, and I was horrified. Like you described earlier, you got these guys or the matador himself jabbing this poor animal with these colorful barbs, and, you know, it could be 6 or 8 or 10 of them dangling out of his back. The bull's bleeding.
Right, and those barbs of the picador are meant to enrage the animal to the point of madness.
Well, and I saw that because when the bull finally got, you know, ticked off and charged the matador whips out a sword and stabs the bull. And then the bull still
Well, that's the object. In other words, the picadors torment the animal. The animal becomes so enraged from pain that it starts charging blindly. It can no longer even, I hate to use the word think, but it no longer has its ordinary bearings about it. It can't think as a normal bull would. It starts to react to the pain. You see what I'm getting at? So it's a setup from the beginning. I don't think people understand this.
Well, it's brutal. And I saw that bull die right there in the pen. And when the matador stabbed the bull with the sword, the crowd goes crazy. You know, 80,000 people. Yeah, I just didn't understand it.
Well, now you understand that this provokes in people certain behaviors towards other human beings that are not very wise. Okay, I agree with you on that. That's all. We can move on from the bulls. If you want, actually, I'm getting a lot of calls on bulls. Let's go to a woman named Carolyn calling the Savage Nation from Bakersfield, California on Rock and Roll Friday. Carolyn, your opinion on bullfights, please.
Yes, I agree with you. I think it's a terrible sport. I lived in Portugal for 1 year, and I attended a bullfight there, and it was the worst thing I've ever seen. The bullfighter is on horseback, and he is dressed up in an extravagant outfit, feathers in his cap, and he kills the bull, but they don't do it in front of you. They just keep throwing the spear at him. And then when it's toward the end of the life of the bull, a whole group of Portuguese gentlemen dressed in these different little outfits, there was probably 10 of them, went running out there and attacked the bull. They jumped on him. They hung on his horns. They were pulling his tail. It was just terrible.
You mean as the bull was dying, they were torturing it further?
Yes, they were torturing it further. This was when the bullfighter was done, a group of about 10 Portuguese.
Oh, how horrible. And what, then they cut off the ears and the genitals?
No, I didn't see him do that. They take him off the...
Oh, how civilized of them. Well, let us say that that was very civil of them not to mutilate the animal after it was dead. So there it is. It sounds like you were really affected by it. You sound like you're very emotional about it right now.
Well, I'm just emotional because I'm talking to you. Anyway, you have a great day.
All right, thanks for the call. Read coverage of Britain's ban of Michael Savage. MichaelSavage.com is the website. There's a couple other stories I'd like to point out. There's a man named Geert Wilders from the Netherlands, the Dutch Party for Freedom led by Geert Wilders. Now, Geert Wilders has very strong views on Islam. He says the Muslims are taking over Europe and they have to be stopped. As a result, he was banned in the United Kingdom. They didn't let him into their fine nation of Britain. Well, right now, his party is leading both of the nation's major opinion polls. He may be the next prime minister of Holland. Can you believe this? So, in other words, under the surface, there's a different Holland, just as under the surface, there's a different America. You see, that's the whole point. 1-800-449-8255. My connections are being lost by the second. I have engineers fiddling with things. I'll be right back. It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about, I guess, two topics have excited the airwaves on the Savage Nation today. One is bullfighting, because someone died at the running of the bulls in Pamplona, which was popularized by Ernest Hemingway in The Sun Also Rises. And I am saying that ever since I've seen bullfighting, I have been against it, because I don't believe in animal torture. I believe in the humane killing of animals for food, whether it be through hunting in a single shot. I mean, when a hunter goes out, a hunter doesn't go out to torture an animal. He goes out to get a shot and kill the animal if he's going to use it for food. I don't think there's a culture on earth that takes pleasure in torturing animals or encourages it. I don't understand that. And I don't think there is. I think all of the cultures of the earth teach their people not to torture animals. They consider them innocent creatures. In fact, I remember when I studied very briefly Native American lore, there were certain rituals about the slaughter of animals that were conducted in order to maintain the dignity of the animal and the dignity of the hunter. And likewise, on the other side of the coin, during the days of the Wild West, after the trains were put out west and the tracks were laid down, drunk, fat slobs from the east would come out in trains through the plains of the western states, or the Central Plains, rather, where there were millions and millions of noble animals called buffaloes, and they would shoot the animals from the train, from the safety of the train, and leave them there rotting on the ground. While the Native American hunted for the hide and the meat and whatever, these people didn't hunt at all. They did it just to slaughter the animal and have fun on their drunken binges. And, of course, as a result, the buffalo was almost wiped off the planet as a result of this indiscriminate slaughter. The same is true for many other species of animals, whether it be lions or tigers or elephants or gorillas. We understand that. Now, I feel very strongly about these things, and I donate some of my, let's say, philanthropic interests to the gorillas, the gorilla fund, they told you. I don't want to make a big deal of it, but the gorillas and the elephants in particular and other animals, the sea turtles. So I admit I have a soft spot for certain animals. On the other hand, I eat meat. Do I take pleasure in killing animals? No. Did I torture little creatures when I was young? No. In fact, I release flies from a window. You call me what you want. I mean, why don't I kill a fly? If the fly's bothering me and doesn't leave, I'll kill it. But if I can, if I find a spider, I'll put a cup over it. I have a trick that I've had since I'm a kid. Why? I have a weird reason. First of all, spiders don't do bad things. They do good things. But the spider, I'll put a cup over it. I'll get a clean, dry paper cup. And I'll get like a postcard that's shiny, and then slide the postcard under the paper cup, carry it outside, and let the thing go. I'll do it with a fly or a moth. Now you say, well, why do you do it? Because inside me, there's a part of me that says there's a thing called karma. I've joked about it with you sometimes. I say, what's karma? Maybe one day I'll come back as a fly and be tested, and I won't want to be squashed on a windowsill. You know, I don't know. In other words, the fly didn't ask to be born. I put it to you that way. Did the fly ask to be born? Did the fly ask to be born? Did the moth ask to be born? Did the bull ask to be born? Did the eagle ask to be born? You are the eagle. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you? You are the eagle, sir. That's what you are. Get it? Sacramento, Gina, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I was stationed over in Spain in the Navy, and I saw a couple of running of the bulls, which is ridiculous. Because they get everybody on the street is drunk. There's nobody to make sure nobody gets hurt. But But I did want to go to a bullfight. It was something I wanted to do all my life. I finally went to a bullfight. And this bull comes out, and it was already staggering, and I could see it was already bleeding. And I said, well, you know, I was very disappointed. I didn't see any talent in the picadors whatsoever. And people that were from there told me, they said that they actually stab the bulls before they come out, so they're already half dead, before the picadors even stab them with their little pricks.
And why do they do that? In order to weaken the animal, drain some blood out of them, or what?
Yeah, they weaken the animal, already known that it's going to die no matter what, before it even comes out.
But in Spain, do they not cut the ears and the genitals off the animal once it's dead?
I don't know. I didn't stick around long enough. I was disgusted by it. I thought it was cruel and terrible, and I was almost in tears when I saw it. But
are you a vegetarian, Gina, or do you eat animal products?
A good steak. I love a ribeye.
So when you eat a rib, do you think about the cow dying?
No, because I think they were put on the
fetus. Right. Well, I keep repeating to you, slaughterhouses are horrible, but they're generally killed very fast. Nobody sticks picador sticks into the cow and stabs it repeatedly and enrages and frightens the animal before it's killed. There's a big difference in humane slaughter and in torture. I think I've made my point. Let's go back to the issue of Obama ogling the young girl. Joan in New York, WOR, go ahead quickly, please. What's on your mind? Joan, go ahead, please. You're on line five. Go ahead, please.
Obama was looking at a young girl that was inappropriately dressed. But the young lady had a lovely dress on. There was no reason to be staring at her backside. And you can clearly see he was looking at her backside, and the gentleman next to him was snickering because...
Yeah, they're leering at her. They're two, like, adolescent jerks. And here they are running in France and the United States of America. And you wonder why the children don't know what to do in this country.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, Rock and Roll Friday. Enjoy life. This is not a rehearsal. Let me repeat that. Enjoy life. This is not a rehearsal. Whatever that means. Enjoy life. This is not a rehearsal. Easier said than done. I'm sitting here at my studio in Area 59, and I have louder. I want to enjoy my life. Oh, I can't wait till the show is over so I can have a drink.
Well, now, somebody call me Joe.
Friday night of the lounge, TGIF.
Yes, man, Mosquito, he don't ever take it slow. Well, naughty,
I have in my hand a little ugly statue of a bulldog with a clown nose and a clown hat, with teeth sticking out, with an underbite, and it says, enjoy life, this is not a rehearsal. It's something I bought in a trinket shop in Hollywood, California about 5 years ago. And I keep it on my desk, made in China, no less. I keep it on my desk during radio shows to remind myself, in part, that at the end of the day, despite the agony, there has to be some ecstasy. So where the ecstasy lies is another story, you know what I mean? We're talking about a couple of main topics seem to have excited the audience today on the Savage Nation. If you just tuned in, we've been arguing over bullfighting because a young man was killed by a bull in the running of the bulls in Pamplona. And although I didn't say good for the bull, I did say it's time to end bullfighting because I believe it to be the torture of animals. I've never liked the spectacle of animals being tortured, and whether it be a bull or a dog. I don't like pit bulls being used to kill each other, and I don't like the idea of throwing toy dogs into a ring to train pit bulls to kill. And I don't like, you know, whatever. They say, well, how far do you want to go in the sissification of America? I believe there's a difference between hunting and killing swiftly and torturing and killing slowly. Does that help you figure out where I'm coming from so you don't put me in the category of, you know, where I don't belong? I mean, there you have to be Solomon-esque about things, and you have to try to discern the difference between killing and torturing an animal. You understand where I'm coming from now? Does that help you or not? I started the last hour by saying I went out in a boat today early. I got up real early, went out with some guys, one of whom, after a while, knew who I was and was a big fan. The other guy didn't know, and he said, well, what are your politics? Are you conservative? You know, we're going slowly in a big boat. He says, would you say your politics are more conservative or liberal? I said, well, I'll let you decide. I said, well, basically, I am very conservative politically on most issues, but on some issues, you can't define me as such. And I said, that's because if you're steering a boat and you lock your course in any one direction, eventually you're going to run aground, kill somebody, or smash into another boat. In other words, you have to be able to steer your boat according to what comes up. It's the same with your political orientation. So when you get locked into, I'm a conservative, so you say to yourself, well, how should I think about bullfighting since I'm a conservative? Let's see. We don't believe in sissification of America. We're macho guys. We believe in freedom, so let them kill bulls. That's what I mean by running into a pier. That's not the correct conclusion. You're thinking wrongly. You're thinking didactically. You're thinking in a doxy. Your doxy is conservative, so you're thinking in a limited fashion. It's the same with liberals. Obama is an orthodox radical left-wing professor, and he runs always to the left, never to the center, never to the right. And he's running the country off a pier because he's only running in one direction. Does that help you understand my political orientation? Okay, so that's where we're starting. And then we're talking about Obama staring at a young girl's behind at the G8 summit, him with that dirtbag Sarkozy. I never liked Sarkozy. You know, in the beginning, he was the foreign minister, the interior minister, and he was tough on the gangs and the projects and blah, 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 and they made him the prime minister of England, whatever they call it. France. The president of France. I didn't like the guy. There was something creepy about him. I didn't like that he was a short guy with a tall runaround chick for a wife as the French, you know. I don't know. The whole thing didn't add up. I thought he was a phony from top to bottom. In other words, he was using the immigration, crackdown on immigration to get ahead, but I don't think he believes in very much, to be honest with you. But who knows what the next man believes in? You know, you're going to accuse anybody of not being real. What's real? Tell me what's real in the world. You know what real is? Real is Harry Truman dropping an atomic bomb on Japan to end World War II. That's real. Okay, real is George Bush, for all of his flaws, and believe me, he had many, and for all of his mistakes, and believe me, he made many, real is George Bush running the U.S. military into Iraq to drive out the terrorists and making the biggest blunder in American history. That's real. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com is the website. I guess we're talking about animals and man and things of that nature. There are news stories out there. Obama and Gaddafi shake hands. Big deal. Why should I care about that? So he shook his hand. French tourists seen as world's worst, according to a survey. French tourists are the worst in the world, coming across as bad at foreign languages, tight-fisted, and arrogant, according to a survey of 4,500 hotel owners across the land. They speak little or no English when they're abroad, and they don't speak much of the local language, said a marketing company. They're also accused of generally spending less than other nationalities when abroad. And the French, not accustomed to leaving large tips at home where a service charge is automatically levied on restaurant bills, can seem tight-fisted compared with other nationalities. Who was at the top of the list of best tourists? The Japanese ranked top of the best tourist survey. Finishing third after the Italians and British for dress sense while on holiday. Could be the deodorant. I'm not quite sure. But I have a question for you as an American. If you're in the service industries, taxi cab driver, waiter, waitress, what, not ethnic group, let's stay away from that, which profession is the worst tipper? I know what the answer is already. I did this a few times in my career, but since it's summertime, I'll do it again. I know the answer. Let's say you're a cab driver in New York, and you listen to the show, The Savage Nation, just because that's what you love. You know and I know who the worst tippers are in the world. You know who they are. I'm talking professionally. You know, and it's not bullfighters, by the way. I'm not getting at that. Not bullfighting at all. New York, Jason, welcome to The Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Truly an honor to speak with you today.
Go ahead.
My friend's parents are actually from Spain, grew up for 30-some-odd years in Spain, came here, and they cannot stand bullfighting. In fact, they have all the Spanish channels, and they just will not even put it on, especially my friend's mother is just appalled and disgusted. And I feel that there probably is a contingent in Spain that feel the same way, and I know it's unfortunate that this man's death occurred, but it may raise awareness amongst those groups and perhaps will cause some focus, you know, there to be focus on this and, you know, maybe banning both.
Yes, I understand. A guy got killed by being gored in the neck, but the issue that I'm raising is not about the man. It's about the bulls being tortured.
Oh, no, no, definitely, definitely. Well, I mean,
next you're going to see, oh, I tell you what we're doing. They'll say, we're going to continue the bull runs, but they're going to put rubber cups on the tip of their horns. You hear this? Or they'll cut the horns off altogether.
Well, no, make no mistake. I'm totally against the bullfighting for the animals, not for the people. I'm just saying that it'll lead to awareness to stop the thing entirely to save the bulls. I mean,
they're going to kill the bull anyway for meat. Do they eat bull meat? I know that in America they eat bull something else in most fast food restaurants. Thanks for the call. All right, that was a cheapo. I couldn't resist. I don't care. Luigi in Connecticut. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Luigi. What's on your mind?
I wanted to talk about the Obama checking out the Brazilian chick.
Yes.
I've seen the video that ABC has up there. I mean, it could not be more. You could look at him and look at the way he's looking at the girl, because I'm a guy. I've done it many times.
That's what I said. Ordinary men will do this, but this is a president. He is not supposed to be like an ordinary guy. And for Good Morning America, which is a total flop and affront for the Obama administration, to say he wasn't doing it. Play clip 17. Listen to this cover-up by this stinker at the ABC.
There is a photo. It's at the G8 summit. It's causing quite a buzz. Take a look at it. Appears to show President Obama and French President Sarkozy giving a young woman a serious once-over. But pictures can be deceiving. Watch the video. Seems to be a little different story. Obama may be watching his footing. Maybe looking at the steps, maybe letting her pass.
You stink.
As opposed to a checkout. Take
you
a look.
You stink. Ah, oh, shut up.
Mm,
you stink. You know, you're the reason America is in the garbage can, whoever you are. Aren't you ashamed of yourself at ABC for what you become? You're nothing but low-life pimps for the Obama administration. You know, and that's why most of America's turned you filthy. Don't get me started here. I'm going to get angry in a minute, and it's Friday. And I said to you, enjoy life. This is not a rehearsal. What good is my anger going to do? Is my anger going to help the situation? I'm coming to a new understanding about life. I don't need anger to survive. I don't need anger to change anything. I've always channeled my anger, my depression, my rage into work. I have authored over 25 books. I've earned 3 higher degrees. I've saved some rainforests. I've done some good. Does it make me a perfect man with a halo? Absolutely not. Not everyone loves me. In fact, I'm very difficult to be around. I recognize all of that. But what I've done with my rage against the machine is turn it into something productive. You can rage all your life and do nothing with it and die a miserable, broken man who's done nothing. Or you can take your rage and you can turn it into something. You know, it's like the pearl, the oyster. I'll never forget that. I mean, I learned it as a kid. My father used to torment me like a bull. Why? In his mind, he was trying to turn me into a productive citizen because he felt that if a kid was not goaded, so look at the word I'm using. This is interesting. G-O-A-D-E-D, goaded, goaded, goaded. In those days, the old men goaded their sons into becoming men. They didn't suggest they become men. They goaded them into being men. And if they went off the track, the father went crazy, by the way. In any way, you know, whether it was wearing clothing that was slightly not particularly manly in those days. Because those guys, I mean, they dressed like like worsted in the summer. So God forbid you should wear anything colorful. They thought already you're ready to become a ballet dancer, if you know what I'm talking about. Or taking a young kid and putting him in a basement and making him clean bronzes with his face getting blotched. Was it torture? No. In his mind, he had had enough of me eating steak and French fries in the living room and getting soft and him coming home white from work and saying, that's it, he's going to work with me and make blah, blah, blah. So in his mind, he was toughening up the kid. They don't do that to girls. They don't raise their daughters that way. They raised their sons that way. I didn't do it that way with my children. I know I'm drifting into something else because I felt that there's a way to go too harsh and there's a way to raise a son to be a man and to be a productive man and to do great things without pushing him, you know, so far in the other direction that it resents you. You know, you could teach him the work ethic. You can tell him to take a job. And they do. I mean, you know, my son took a job in Wendy's at age 14 and rode a bus to do it. So I always encouraged my children to work, both of my children, and they did. And I think that work, teaching them to work by itself is the lesson that you have to teach them, the value of work, the value of money. And I think that that would make the child into as productive as he's ever going to be. Now, I mean, I had friends whose fathers didn't make them work. They all were from the same socioeconomic level, usually from, I think we were a little poorer than a lot of the kids, truthfully. We weren't allowed to admit it. I think we had a little, you know, you weren't allowed to say it, but I suspect, looking back. But none of the other kids worked. Their parents figured that they, by not making them work, they'd amount to something more in life. I don't know where they wound up. I don't know what they became. I have no idea. And I'm not, you know, I'm better, I'm worse. I don't know what they became. I don't know what they're doing. I'm sure one is a doctor, one is a dentist, one is a lawyer, one is a this, one of God bless them all. So there's no direct road through life, my friends. There's no direct road. There's only some basic rules about living and raising children. And we can talk about that as well as bulls and the worst tippers and Obama being the worst president in the history of this wonderful republic. I'll be right back. Savage. You're live on the Savage Nation Rock and Roll Friday, TGIF. As I said earlier, enjoy life. This is not a rehearsal. So despite what the Democrats and Obama are doing to this fair republic, try to enjoy yourself this weekend. That's my advice to you. Here's a story out of New York that's going to make you just shake your head and say this is impossible. Here's the headline. Brooklyn bodega owner gets 5 years in prison for hammer smash. A Brooklyn bodega owner who shattered the skull of a teen he thought was robbing him was sentenced to 5 years in jail this morning. Salah Ahmed battered Bunkless Bovian with a hammer after the Brownsville store owner who was sleeping in the back of the deli woke up and saw Bunkless Bovian fighting with a coworker. So let's go backwards here. There's a struggling Arabic store owner. He's working 20 hours a day, 7 days a week to make a buck. And these troublemaking bums come in and start screwing around in the store. And this guy wakes up and he thinks that the guy's robbing the store. So he hits him with a hammer and smacks him on the head. Now he's going to jail for 5 years. That's the American way? You hear this? Of course, the victim was very seriously injured, but what was he doing in the store? Well, let's look. Mr. Bovian, Bunkless Bovian, and two of his wonderful friends started punching the store clerk after the worker made a joke about his attacker's mother, witnesses said during the trial. Do you believe a word of that? Witnesses? You mean more of the gangbangers who went in to rob the gum and the cigarettes? Said he insulted my mama? Nonsense. I don't believe a word of it. The reason this Ahmed, an immigrant from Yemen, was given a one-way train to 5 years in the slammers because he didn't have the money to defend himself properly. It's sickening. Ahmed, an immigrant, his wife and five children still live in Yemen, worked 20-hour days and had been robbed several times before, according to his attorney. So he wakes up, and Mr. Bovian is seen punching a store clerk, they say, because he made a joke about his attacker's mom. I don't believe a word of it. Sad in America when a poor, struggling worker in a store, an owner, can't defend himself. Now you hear the complaint there aren't enough stores in certain neighborhoods. Now you ask yourself why?
Savage.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight. Put your glad rags on. Join me, home. We'll have some fun when the clock strikes one.
Life, this is not a rehearsal. Brooklyn Bodega owner gets 5 years in prison for Hammerstein. You hear? What a story. Salah Ahmed battered Bunkless Bovian with a hammer. Yeah, innocent Bunkless Bovian. Bovian and two of his pals started punching the store clerk after the worker made a joke about his attacker's mom, witnesses said during the trial. Witnesses. More of the gangbanger says, oh, yeah, he insulted his mom. All right, so that allowed him to beat up the co-worker in the bodega. The guy wakes up and sees his assistant getting beaten up by a gang of bums, and he wakes up and hits him with a hammer. Now he's going away for 5 years. Thank you very much. The jury, you can just imagine what the jury of peers would be for Bunkless Bovian. The jury watched the hammer attack on footage filmed by surveillance cameras. A jury of his peers would be, I guess, similar style, similar people of similar lifestyle. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. I also asked you what the worst tippers are professionally. New York, WOR. George, go ahead, please. George, what profession are you in?
Worst tippers are doctors.
Wait, hold on. Let's back up. Let's milk this for all it's worth. What do you do for a living?
Actually, I'm a retired teacher right now, but I drove a cab while I was in college.
All right, I was wondering, because generally teachers don't get tips.
No, I got nothing as a teacher. But when I drove
a cab... No, but seriously, so what? With the years you drove a cab, the worst tippers were doctors?
Yeah, I'm sorry to say so.
How did you know they were doctors? You mean at a doctor convention?
No, you'd be picking them up outside the hospital, or, you know, you'd be driving them to the hospital.
Why are doctors cheaper than other professionals, I wonder? I would have thought lawyers, I heard lawyers were the worst. I heard lawyers are the stingiest.
They may be. I have my theories. I always felt that people who never had to work for tips don't tip well.
Well, the reverse I know is true, which is that people who have had to work for tips are the best tippers. In other words, the best a waiter can do is have a waiter sitting down at a table as a customer, because usually the waiter will give the best tip. I've seen that in my whole life. I've been a busboy, a poet, a pauper, a prawn, and a king. Thanks for that. No, I've been a busboy, I've been a waiter, I've been a lifeguard, I've been a junior lifeguard. I've never driven taxi. Never. I don't know. That job is horrible. I had a friend slashed up in a cab once. You shouldn't know from it. AC, if you're listening to the show, I don't mean to make you uncomfortable, but horrible, horrible. In San Francisco about 15, 20 years ago, I visited him in the hospital. Like a side of meat, what this guy did to him. And it's because the idiots who run the cab companies in San Francisco don't want to put in a barrier between the customer and the cab driver. You hear this? No, we don't believe in a barrier. We want an interchange between the customer and the cab driver. They're a bunch of cheap bums own the cab companies, you hear? They don't care if the drivers wind up looking like a lox. Do you think they care if the driver looks like a Nova Scotia salmon in the morning? They don't care. Yeah, they want an interchange between the driver and the genius. They take me over to Hunter's Point tonight. I want to go in that area. And if you don't turn, I'm calling the police that you're being a violation of the taxi rules. He wound up slashed. A guy jumped over with a knife, almost cut him to ribbons. He fought with everything in him. With his last sinew, he cut his hands up on him, and as the knife was coming down to kill him, he said to him, why are you doing this to me? Can you? And this was a strong kid. I forget how it ended. I don't even know why the guy let him live. But there are crazy people out there. Don't you understand there are insane people out there? I don't know what that has to do with tipping. I don't know whether insane people tip more or less. We were talking about tipping, not insanity. Oh, I got off on a thing because I was saying I never drove a taxi, thank God. But it wasn't because I did not drive a taxi because my friend got slashed. I didn't drive a taxi because I didn't drive a taxi. I had other things to do. Let's go to the callers. Okay, forget about it. San Francisco. KNEW. Lawrence, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael. This is Lawrence from Santa Rosa. I got a couple of questions. I've listened to your show for about 6 years. I'm a member of the Savage Nation. I love it. I love your program.
Thank
anyway,
you.
Anyway, the first one was... I was
now,
been,
now comes the punch in the guts. But no, what's been, on your mind?
It may have been just answered. I was going to ask, talk about the worst tippers, professional tippers. And I would have to say the current Democratic liberal politicians now in office.
But no. Well, the question is, have you received, have you worked for them and gotten bum tips?
No, I have not, but I have.
Because you live in Santa Rosa, California. Your congresswoman is who?
Pelosi? No, that's not the congresswoman, no.
No, you have one up there. I wouldn't want to be in the same taxi with her, never mind because of the tip. You need a gas mask to drive her around.
Nancy.
Thanks for the call. You need a gas mask. It'd be like driving around a foul locks in a July heat. Let's leave it at that. I don't even want to give it a thought because it's going to border on misogyny, and I'm not a misogynist, but it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that she herself internally, in her soul, smells like a herring left out in the sun. Whatever. New York City. No, let's go to Hawaii. David in Hawaii, welcome to the Savage. I can't see very well. The lights are dimming. It's like an island across the river. It's like islands in the stream here tonight. Again, two in a row. One more night of this, I'll have a nervous breakdown. Dave, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, the worst tippers are prostitutes. I drive
the worst tippers are... Whoa. Prostitute? Are you a cab driver?
Yes, I am. And all the while, they're bragging that they just made $250 for not doing anything.
And what percent tip do they give? Are you talking about like you pick them up on Hotel Street or something?
Yes.
All right. And let's say you get a $10 ride. What do they leave you as a tip?
Nothing.
Nothing?
And this is right after they just made $200 or $300.
They don't even blow you a kiss?
Nothing. They're the worst. They only...
Now, are you sure they're actual prostitutes or they're boy-girl, you know, because that could be a differential within the subculture.
Well, sometimes they're with customers, sometimes they're not.
All right, so prostitutes are one rung below Democrat doctors.
Well,
we've come to that conclusion. We're running a poll on who the cheapest tippers are in the country. The lowest one so far is prostitutes in Hawaii. Next to them are doctors in general. That's nice. Very nice. Very nice. All right. New York City, WOR, Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage, I just heard you tell a story earlier about spiders and how you would not kill them. My father,
yes.
76-year-old who's from the Bronx, Throgs Neck, that's how he brought us up. He would not allow anyone in our house to kill a spider. He did the same exact thing. Put a cup over the spider, use either a piece of paper or a postcard, and said, you cannot kill these. The spiders are good for the earth. They kill other insects. Great story.
Isn't that interesting? Well, also, right, it's amazing. I don't know who taught me this, but I just don't like crushing an insect for no reason.
It was great. When you talked about it, I had to call my father, and I said, Dad, you got to get on the radio and listen to it because he's talking about the things that you've always talked about coming from the Bronx, you know, Throgs Neck, my grandfather.
Well, Mark, let me ask you something. But your father wasn't a weakling in any other way, was he?
No. My father's a retired captain in the Army. And, you know, it was stand up tall and do things right. And if you didn't, you were going to
get it. Isn't that something? You see, this is an amazing call, Mark, because that was the point I was trying to make, which is that it is not a mark of weakness to have compassion for defenseless creatures, whether they be a bull or a spider or a defenseless human being. It is the mark of a man to have such emotions. That's what I was getting at, Mark.
Totally agree, because you talked about the fox the other day. I mean, I listen to you every time I come home from work, and, you know, just the fact that you didn't want it, you wanted to be compassionate, and you felt for that fox crying for its child. I mean, it just goes on in life, and that's the way it is. I mean, I live across the street here in Lower Manhattan from the World Trade Center. 62 friends of mine died that day. I walk by it every day, so I feel it. But, it, you know, the little stories that you tell.
Wait a minute. 52 friends died at WTC? Were they firemen?
Cops are firemen. They were people that worked at Cantor Fitzgerald and the people in the building. I used to work in number one.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
If they were alive, they'd be listening to you and saying the same things every day that you say.
That's a very nice call, Mark. I really mean it because, you know, I take chances in the radio business. If I get up here and they say, oh, he's a conservative, but he doesn't squash bugs, he must be, you know, a liar or this and that. The exact opposite is true. Why do you have to squash a bug to prove you're a man?
Nothing. It's none of the above. I mean, I have your books.
And also, by the way, understanding like your father taught you as a captain in the Army, I'm sure he had his situations where he had to do things that normal men don't have to do with regard to violence. He understands that the spider didn't ask to be born, and it also offered no threat to him.
Hey, Mr. Savage, you're doing a great thing. You know, I don't want to give you the fluff and stuff. I tell my friends all
around. Well, stay on the line, Mark. Mark, stay on the line. I'm sending you a free copy of Psychological Nudity to give your father. Mark, stay on the line. Special present going out to you for the summer doldrums. I see that the New York Post stole my headline, King of Pill Popping. Thank you very much, Rupert. I appreciate it that your minions are listening. I like the New York Post. I enjoy the paper. It's just that they banned me. I like Andrea Pizer. I like some of the columnists, and I like the newspaper. I'm not a New York Daily News reader. As a kid, okay, we had the News, Mirror, and American. I have no idea what the American was. My father had the News, the Mirror, the American. And I said, well, Dad, why do you have three newspapers? He said, so I can get all opinions. I didn't even understand what he meant by all opinions. What does a kid know? He knew. I think the Post was liberal in his day. The Post was liberal. The News was considered like right-wing in those days. The News, and the American was probably... I have no idea what it was. The Journal American, who published it, I don't know. The Hearst Corporation, whatever. And he'd sit and read various editorials and opinions, and he would ponder and conclude, and then he'd make his own decision that way. And I think that's what talk radio serves here in America. We are, in many ways, an alternate opinion to ABC, for example. Like, you take a look at Obama, he's staring at a young girl's behind. Very unpresidential. Very unbecoming. Yeah, guys do it, but he's not a guy. He's the president. That's my point. He's supposed to show self-constraint. Excuse me. And you got ABC going on the air covering, saying he wasn't looking at the girls behind. He was watching a step. You hear this? Now, you wonder how in the world could journalism fall to this level? And now you understand why we survive in talk radio and why it was such a threat that they go to England and try to do the fairness doctrine through the back door by picking on me first. Because they know I'm the most outspoken, number one. And they also know that no one else in the conservative movement is going to come to my aid because I've gored them with my mouth all my life. It's nice to make enemies on a daily basis on the Savage Nation, even those who see things the same way you do politically. It's nice every day making new enemies. You know, in this world, you get up, you say a word, you make friends and enemies. So what are you going to do? Keep saying your own word. That's all. Have the guts to say what you mean. What are you going to do, lose your job? Yes. In the communist America that you're living in, you're liable to. Leave it to me. Let me do it. You keep your mouth shut better. So let's see what we've covered so far. I've covered bullfighting should be eliminated because it's torture, and it's not the same as slaughtering animals humanely. And I'm showing you the difference. I didn't say don't eat meat. That's your decision. I have very strong opinions on the matter. I believe that the human being was... designed certainly were designed to be an omnivore. I've done this before. It doesn't mean there aren't strong vegetarians. I have a friend who's very strong. He's a martial artist, great guy, and he's a lacto-ovo vegetarian. I didn't say that. But if you look at your body, and I've done this before, once a year I do it since the summer. While you're listening to me, do this quickly. Take your two thumbs and push your two thumbs at the roof of your mouth, boys and girls. You're going to feel your teeth, right? And two of them are very sharp. They're called canine teeth. Now, do the same with your fingers. Dang, canines. You got four canine teeth. What does that mean? It means you're like a dog, which explains most of your behavior. But you're not only like a dog. A dog is a carnivore. It's meant to tear flesh with those teeth. Horrible thought, but that's what you're made of, okay? Now you got grinding teeth in the back. So you're not either a carnivore or an omnivore. You're not a carnivore nor an herbivore. You are an omnivore, which means you can eat both meat or flesh products, and you can grind the corn or the grain in the back of your mouth. What am I getting at? Your gut also is a mid-sized gut. A cow has a very long, convoluted gut. Why? Because it needs a lot of distance in the gut to digest the grasses that it eats. A dog or carnivores have short guts because meat passes through the intestine rapidly, okay? You have a mid-length gut for your size. For a man your size, you have a mid-length gut. And therefore, you're an omnivore. So don't be so nervous if you go out and you have a piece of meat or a steak or a fish. And by the way, let's say you're raising children. I don't know how many people I saw when my kids were young. And remember now, that we're talking the 70s. So it was very big post-hippie age. A lot of people became hippie vegetarians. Inevitably, you watch the kids at 2-3 years old. You're feeding your kid a chicken sandwich, a hamburger, whatever. And the kid is a vegetarian. Oh, no, no, my child doesn't touch meat. The minute their mother turned the head, the child's eyes would light up and they would be drooling trying to steal your child's chicken sandwich. They were starving for a piece of flesh, the vegetarian kids. And if you put it near them, they grabbed it like a jackal off the table because the child was craving usually B12. Most vegetarians are either B12 deficient or iron deficient, and it's terrible to see the girls today. It is awful. I'm not mocking them. Most women who are vegetarian don't understand they have to get supplements to supplement B12 in particular. They're not getting it no matter how many soybeans they eat. They don't know anything about balancing food. They think, oh, vegetarianism. Wrong. That's why they have no energy. And they lose iron once a month because their women, no one even tells them that. They're either ashamed or stupid. And so women need to get supplements with calcium, iron, B12, and other nutrients, and they're not getting it from their food. And you see women turn around the minute they're supplemented properly. With the years ago when I was, you know, in the field of nutritional medicine, when I actually was in it, you should see people turn around when you gave them the right diet. Anyway, we've moved a little bit around today in the Savage Nation, and we're going to be right back. It is Rock and Roll Friday in the Savage Nation. Thanks for being with me thus far. Here are some new headlines. I called him the King of Pill Pop, and they said the King of Pop. I said King of Pill Pop on Monday, Tuesday. It was brave of me to do so, but it was pretty clear that that's what he was. While the rest of the media was glorifying him, turns out he took 10 Xanax a night. That's what we know now, okay? And, of course, this was while Obama was giving away the nation's security to Russia. God knows what else. God knows what he's going to give away by the time he gets home and then try to railroad yet another ridiculous radical left-wing program down our throats, further bankrupting America. So there it is. Blue Dog Dems put brakes on health reform. Well, I'll see it when I believe it. Blue Dog Dems put brakes on health reform. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, where are we now? We got good callers on Tippers. We got good callers on Tipper Gore. Where is Tipper Gore now that we don't need her? San Francisco, Emil, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
And, Mike, good talking to you again. When I was driving a cab in the 70s, the worst tippers were airline pilots. The worst.
Emil, come on. You're calling me from San Francisco. You're sitting up there on Potrero Hill with your Goombas, drinking your wine and making scungili. And you remember being a cab driver?
Oh, yeah. I was driving a cab before I went in the Marine Corps. And, you know, I made some side money. Back then it was 60-40. 60 to the house, 40 to your pocket. And it was always an early, early pickup. And these multivans.
Emil, let me ask you something. I'm homesick. I'm not in San Francisco. Are you actually in your clubhouse?
No, no, I just left there. I came home, took a shower. We're going to head up to North Beach for a little macaroni, meatballs, and sausage.
Where are you going to find good meatballs in North Beach?
In the back room at the Mona Lisa on Columbus.
Oh, you're going to go into that joint because, you know, meatballs are very hard to find. I'm going to have a report Monday, Emil, and everyone else, on the best meatballs from the Boca Raton area to San Francisco right here in the Savage Nation. I'm actually going to have some Italian chefs on with meatball recipes because a good meatball is hard to find. I'm very serious. I am going to have dinner tomorrow night at an undisclosed location in Florida, and then I'm going to have the chef on Monday with his special grandmother's special meatball recipe. It's the veal, stupid.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language,
adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. It's Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation, and today I'd like to look back at the topics that I covered throughout this week and revisit some of my thoughts on each of them. First of all, on Monday I talked about Barack Obama on his trip to Russia, doing what he always does on these foreign trips, foot-kissing and kowtowing. Let's listen.
Savage.
Our president is on another trip. He has solved all of the problems in America, as you know, so therefore he is now over in Russia. That is so good. That is so great to see that we have a pacifist socialist in the presidency who will soon, in his own mind, be president of the world and then the universe. I don't know how he's getting away with this. I just don't know how. He's outright supporting the communist dictator of Honduras while the people are screaming for democracy. He doesn't help them in Iran. North Korea fires missile after missile. He and his minions in the military stand down and do nothing. He is the most fiscally irresponsible president in history, according to Kevin Hassett, a real economist, in Bloomberg News. And yet, not a peep comes out of the media about this. I am sitting and watching the United States of America being taken apart at the joints. How about you? Having a nice time? Obama takes a trip. We don't know what he's on, but he's certainly on a big ego trip. We still, in essence, have a peacetime military because we are, in essence, at peace. After all, the men are only dying in Afghanistan. North Korea is firing missiles into the ocean. Iran is threatening to blow Israel and then the United States off the map. The world is in upheaval, and Obama doesn't care. He doesn't know that. He assumes it's still the University of Chicago and that he can go to another seminar on a peaceful world without nuclear weapons.
Savage.
Now, on Tuesday, the media were obsessed with the death of the pill-popping, king of pill-popping, Michael Jackson. Why did the media elevate this sicko? Well, let's flash back to Michael Savage's comments on Tuesday, please.
Savage.
What I want to do today is cover some American music that's great rather than the garbage that Michael Jackson produced for children, really. I mean, children liked him. I don't know of any adult who ever listened to him. He was histrionic, danced around on the stage. I have no idea where the worship comes from. I had enough of it. I said the same thing about the Ronald Reagan Memorial. I said the same thing about the President Ford Memorial that went on for weeks. I feel as though I'm living in a nightmare. But this has gotten worse. And to think who's given the eulogy, Al Sharpton, the man who brought us deaths at Freddy's Fashion Mart, the man who invented the fact that there was, in fact, no attack upon Tawana Brawley, who smeared herself with feces and said that a detective smeared her with feces and that it was white racism. He's giving the eulogy, quite fitting, actually. Now, if you think this is a racist rant, that's because your mind is perverted and distorted. Because I'm going to play the music of some black composers and musicians who are actually great. Let's, for example, begin with John Coltrane with Giant Steps. He is great music. Not from Michael Jackson, by the way. And this is something that Sharp Tongue or the others wouldn't even understand. All right, now here's another piece of great music by a great American, African-American at that. Duke Ellington, Take the A-Train. Listen to this one. Everyone knows this. No eulogies for Ellington when he died. You can can feel the train rocking. If you've ever ridden the A train, you can feel it rocking. That's great music. Now, of course, here's another African-American. I'm sure he would turn over in his grave if anyone referred to him as an African-American back in the time, 1967. Here's Jimi Hendrix, All Along the Watchtower. You want to hear great music? Listen to it. How's that? Said a joker to the thief. No memorials for Jimmy. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. I guess we can add this to the Cesar Chavez Day next. It'll be Michael Jackson Day. A day that everyone in America must don a white glove or be arrested by the new federal police. How about a woman, a fabulous country and western singer, also authentic American music, Tammy Wynette, Stand By Your Man. How about this? I guarantee you this is fairly well known amongst people who are over the age of nine. Something warm. All right, country and western. Now, how about some real American music along the lines of what we just heard from a different sort of composer? We heard George Gershwin's American in Paris. How about Fanfare the Common Man by Aaron Copland? Hear of him lately? No, that's so beyond the Al Sharpton crowd. We wouldn't even expect. Break that record. Break that record. That would cause riots, I'm sure. How about Gershwin's American in Paris with the sound of taxi cabs when he hit Paris? Isn't that kind of interesting and quaint? Quaint music. George Gershwin, never heard of him. Didn't wear one white glove. So far as we know, he didn't molest young boys. But then again, hey, it was a different time. He was a man who composed for the greatest generation. You might say that Michael Jackson entertained for America's worst generation. You might say that, of course. You wouldn't want to be heard saying it, but you could say it. All right, let's let it go. I made my point.
Savage.
When you look back upon this week, and you look at what went on from the time Obama was giving away one-third of America's nuclear arsenal, agreeing to dismantle it, that is, while you were worshiping a pill popper's gold coffin. Now, I called him the king of pill popping on Tuesday. The New York Post stole that and just published that this afternoon. They finally got around to putting it in the right context. They smelled that the wind was blowing finally against Michael Jackson. They finally had the courage to say the right thing. My hat's off to the New York Post. But the fact of the matter is, that's how Obama gets away with it, because of the government media complex. They keep you blinded, and he does exactly what the far left expects him to do. Now you look at the so-called conservative media. Let's analyze it. Where is the conservative media? Tell me who's conservative on Fox News. Occasionally they do a fabulous job. Once in a while I see something, I can't believe I'm actually watching it. But you can't say that Fox is truly a conservative outlet anymore. It shifted a couple of years ago when Murdoch the genius saw that the Democrats were going to win. He figured Hillary would be the president. He backed her. No one ever thought that this college professor would be president. No one ever heard of him 3 years ago. No one ever saw this coming. You know, despite what the mainstream media is trying to sell you, there's real news going on in the world. Protests have been going on in Iran since their fake elections. And despite the threat of arrest, torture, and even death, Iranians are trying to get their voices heard through the media blackout. Joining us now is Ken Timmerman, who's been watching the situation for us. Ken, what's happening now in Iran?
Michael, the reports that I've been getting from inside Iran show that there have been massive demonstrations in at least 8 or 9 cities across the country. They have been led in part by Ruzbeh Farahanipour, who was one of the leaders of the 1999 student uprising at Tehran University. He was arrested and tortured in 1999 and subsequently released and managed to escape from Iran. I have known him ever since he came to the United States a couple of years after that. And I can tell you, I was stunned when I learned a week ago that Ruzbeh Fateh Hanipour was returning to Iran clandestinely, where it was absolutely clear that if the regime forces managed to arrest him, they would not just arrest him and torture him this time. They would kill him outright. This is a man of extraordinary courage. I think he deserves our prayers and our support. He is in Iran today as I speak. I spoke to him Thursday from a secret location inside Iran. He told me of the progress of the demonstrations. He said that there had been thousands of people in the streets. The slogans against the regime had been far more radical than in the past, than calling for an end to the Islamic Republic of Iran. They'd been calling for an end to the dictatorship. They'd been personally criticizing both the supreme leader and his son, Mujtaba, who has been identified as playing a key role in the suppression of the demonstrations.
Well, how do you feel Obama's reactions or rather inaction has been?
You know, I think one of the most extraordinary things here, Michael, has been the, in addition to the courage, obviously, of these Iranian leaders who are risking their lives to face a totalitarian regime bent on killing them, the most extraordinary thing has been the cowardice of the government of the United States of America. I think that President Obama, through his silence, through his refusal to recognize the courage of the protesters inside Iran and their demands for freedom, which really are very similar to what Americans have always been demanding since the beginning of our country. President Obama has shown he is not the leader of the United States of America. He's really the leader of a banana republic. I am ashamed to say that he is my president. I am ashamed when I see individuals such as Ruzbeh Fateh Hanipour holding high the lamp of freedom that President Obama of the United States is trying to blow to blow that lamp of freedom out. We in America need to be that shining city on the hill that we always have been in history. We need to help the protesters in Iran, those pro-freedom fighters in Iran, who are desperately calling out to America to be what we have always been, that shining city on the hill, the lamp of freedom, and not to blow it out, not to hold the lamp of freedom in a shroud as President Obama has done.
Have any other countries try to help the protesters?
It's extraordinary, Michael. I'm speaking to you now from France, where President Sarkozy has been a great advocate of freedom. He has called on the European Union and the G8 countries yesterday at their summit in Italy to support the protesters in Iran and not to legitimize the new government of Ahmadinejad in Iran. But President Obama thinks that we should deal with dictators. I would really suggest that our listeners take that to heart, that they do their own research. They can look at my website, iran.org, and others on the Internet and decide whether they should be contacting the White House to demand that President Obama get tough on Iran, get tough on the dictatorship, and refuse to recognize the election of Ahmadinejad.
Thanks for the update, Ken. It seems the whole world is watching this, and all we get is Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson, and more Michael Jackson.
Savage.
Sewer Plant was written when this song was out. You want to read from the book? You want to read from Psychological Nudity? Tell your childhood stories, teenage stories, coming of age, as they say. What's coming of age? Whoever comes of age. Do you know anyone in your entire life who ever grew up in America? Who grew up today? Who's a grown-up? Obama's a grown-up? He may as well still be a college sophomore. Everything he says is sophomoric. But of course, to the people in the media, that's considered genius today. You know what it is? He says gambler do a thing like that for one reason. It's like you say, the younger audience won't get it because the reference points are not there. They don't know half of the references that you make. But my audience, let us say, is an older audience, which it is, and I know that. You're supposed to hide that? the older audience, the audience that I have, which is like 40, let's say mainly a 40 up white males, they're the ones with the money who buy everything. I'm supposed to worry about an 18-year-old bisexual with three earrings on his torso? I'm supposed to appeal to him? Are you crazy? They don't buy anything. They can't afford anything. So I may as well talk to my audience. What do I care about the 18 to 22-year-old guy with the rings all over his torso? I say to myself, if you want to get into the question of philosophy, in a minor philosophy, popular philosophy, put it to you that way. Everyone listening to this show over the age of 40 had dreams as a youth and is now leading a different life than they dreamed of. 99% of us do not live the life of our dreams. 99% of us don't live the life of our dreams. Why? Because they're called dreams. Because a child has these dreams. A man has to get real in the real world of making a living and having a family. That's different than wanting to be an astronaut or a ball player. Now, some of you have become what you wanted to be, admittedly, and I'm sure I'll get those calls, but that is the smallest percentile. It starts out with the dreams and it ends up with reality. The whole question is how do you comport yourself inside the reality in which you find yourself, and can you find a modicum of contentment within that reality that you're living in, and how do you do so? That is one of the most important questions you could actually discuss on this show. And that I tried to get at that last week when I said to you the difference between excitement, and I didn't say contentment. I said the difference between excitement and fulfillment. I don't like the word contentment. It sounds too much like Elsie the cow. But I said fulfillment. I said the difference between excitement and fulfillment. It's a different story. And we have a society that keeps whipping us on, you know, buy this, be excited. Wear that, be excited. Go here, be excited. Drink this, be excited. You see what I'm saying? Well, is that the end? Is that the end of your existence supposed to be excitement? Constant excitement like a rat in a cage that's constantly getting a little electric shock? Because that's what the media does to us. Every image is of something you can't have, that if you only had it, you'd have the excitement that they pretend the other person has. And that's why they're all in rehab. They have so much excitement. They're leading such a great life in Hollywood with all their sex and drugs that every other day they're falling down in the gutter and into a rehab unit. No, so the issue is not trying to seek excitement when you're a mature a person, a respectable human being who's trying to make a living and support yourself, your family, and your country. The object is to seek something different than excitement. I didn't say you can't find it from time to time, but that's not the norm to seek excitement. If you seek excitement on a daily level, you know how you wind up? You wind up in San Francisco. That's where you wind up. And you know what you wind up with? I don't have to finish the sentence because I'm pretty much sure you could understand what I'm saying to you. That's why I wanted to stay with this whole idea from Sartre to the Sizzler, because I think it's a good idea. It's a great idea. I mean, I don't know which one of those metaphors or whatever you want to call them may have touched you, but actually my funniest line is here how the 6-ounce senior steak, $9.95, all you can eat, salad included, and a baked potato. The meat tasted as though it had been killed during the Roosevelt administration. In a cold storage locker in Denver, in a government warehouse since 1945, purchased by the Sizzler's owner from the war profiteer's grandson in a New York stock trade. Sizzler, 6-ounce steak, killed in 1945. That's how it ends. Sizzler, 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 without the sizzle, without the Sartre, reaching for the stars and ending up on a rocking horse, trying to ride a thunderbolt to heaven and ending up in an air-conditioned Prius. It's good stuff if you understand the context and if you understand what I'm getting at. If not, okay, we can go back to the meat and potatoes, BS radio right-wing garbage that you heard all day long that, Hammerhead does and the golfer does all day long. And that moron who never went to college now with a blackboard and a blackboard now. He always wanted to be a professor. He heard that they were smart. So he puts a blackboard on television now. You hear this? It's unbelievable. I never saw anything like this. If you talk about a right wing in disrepair and falling apart, you don't have to look any further than what's going on. I've never seen anything like this in my life. It is Friday, and here's James Herson with a report on the shenanigans going on in Hollywood.
Hi, Michael. You know, things are happening that we never could have imagined, like a fight in the House of Representatives over Michael Jackson. Democrat Sheila Jackson Lee, who gave a speech at the Jackson Memorial, was pushing a resolution to declare the controversial singer an American legend, a musical icon, and a world humanitarian. But Republican Peter King said he'd do whatever he had to stop the resolution. Enter Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi to kill the resolution, infuriate Sheila Jackson Lee, and help Peter King in the process. Pelosi pulled the plug on the Jackson resolution. Why? Well, she said the reason was that the resolution wasn't necessary. But the real reason were Democrats. Democrats who were worried that a divisive Michael Jackson debate would hurt House efforts to pass socialized medicine and this stimulus sequel. Hey, I'd rather see them debate a Jackson resolution anytime. Do it for the rest of the year. But now a Pew study has shown that what we all suspected, that the coverage of Jackson's death overshadowed all other news for weeks. The first 2 days, cable news devoted a staggering 93% of its coverage to Jackson.
Oh, my God.
Nightly broadcast news shows on CBS, ABC, NBC featured at least one story every night, with more than half of them leading with a story about Jackson. And it all culminated with the round-the-clock coverage of the memorial from Los Angeles Staples Center. But a Pew poll found 64% of people believe there's too much coverage of Jackson. Although the singing and eulogizing is over, the use of taxpayer money for the cost of the Jackson Memorial Service is creating a battle in Los Angeles. In a very unusual move, the city attorney, Carmen Trutanich, appeared during the public comment period of the city council hearing and announced that the city attorney's office was launching an investigation to determine how L.A. taxpayers got stuck with the bill from a memorial at a time when the city and state are broke.
Exactly.
Two council members suggested that the Jackson family help defer costs. Sarah Hamilton, a spokeswoman for the city, said that the final cost to L.A. of the memorial at Staples Center was $1.4 million. The $1.4 million is an embarrassment for Mayor Villaraigosa, whose efforts so far have been a fundraising request posted on his website that has raised a paltry $17,000. By the way, the Jackson family so far has not offered to repay the city anything. Meanwhile, longtime dermatologist and friend of Michael Jackson, Dr. Arnold Klein, said that while Jackson was on tour in Germany, he was using Diprovan, a drug only used in operating rooms, and Jackson was using the drug for insomnia. Klein told the singer that he was insane, absolutely insane, Klein said. This isn't a drug you can repeatedly take, which brings up a question. How in the heck did Jackson get a hold of a drug that's not sold in pharmacies, that's used in operating rooms? Klein's answer, quote, "The rich and famous can buy anything they want to buy," close quote.
So that's that.
Michael Moore has picked a title for his upcoming movie, and I use the term loosely, a documentary. It's called Capitalism, a Love Story. Moore says it's the perfect date movie. He claims it's got it all. Lust, passion, romance, and 14,000 jobs being eliminated every day. This guy's good with slogans. He says it's about a forbidden love for capitalism. Now, Moore's capitalistic company, Overture Films, will produce the movie, and his capitalistic distribution company, Paramount Vantage, will distribute it internationally. And this is so that Michael Moore can attack capitalism while cashing corporate checks and continue to live in a swanky West Side apartment.
Oh, don't get me started.
Finally, Michael, actress Rachel Weisz thinks Botox should be banned for actors. The actress, best known for her roles in the Mummy movies and for her Oscar-winning role in The Constant Gardener, she says Botox injections leave actors less able to convey emotion, and she claims it harms the acting industry in the same way that steroids harm athletes. She says acting is all about expression. Why would you want to iron out a frown? By the way, Nancy Pelosi was unavailable for comment.
Ha-ha.
Michael, I wouldn't be surprised if they stick a Botox provision in the health care bill. Thank you, my friend, for your valuable, unironed observations.
Hey, thanks for the report, James. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You say the Republican Party is finished. They were finished a long time ago. After Barry Goldwater, they were already on the wrong road. Then they had Ronald Reagan, who, by the way, was not so conservative. He was a fairly good president. I had problems with Ronald Reagan. He destroyed the family farm. I know that you don't understand that, but I did. I wrote many, many articles back in the 80s when he was ripping the family farm to shreds and creating these agribusiness complexes. So, you know, no president is perfect. There is no Republican Party, so to speak. Well, there's a Republican Party. There's no conservatism within it, okay? There's no meat inside that bun. But the point I'm making is, where do you find conservatism? You find it on a few websites, yes. You find it on a few blogs, yes. You find it in a few radio shows, yes. Tell me what happened to Newsmax. Tell me what happened to that outlet. What happened to them that suddenly they're glorifying the Democrat Party? It's almost exactly the same playbook as Schlepp Smith. Extremists need not apply, meaning anyone who's a true conservative need not apply to that outlet. Why? Why did that happen? I started the show talking about bullfighting being a barbaric sport, and I said it should be banned. Not so much because I care about the people who torture the animals and get injured from time to time, but because the animals do not deserve to be tortured, in my opinion. And I'd like your opinion on that, if you wish. In Florida, Tony, you're the first up. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I just want to comment. I agree with you 100% regarding the bullfighting. And you know, I got to be honest, every year that this goes on, I secretly hope that at least one of these idiots in the streets is killed. And I got to say, I smiled when I saw this. It's a good payback.
Well, it was the first time anyone's been mortally wounded in over 20 years, I believe. It's not every year that it happens. They get injured, the morons who get drunk and think that they're Ernest Hemingway. But the actual, you know, ending like this, and Pamplona's San Fermin Festival with a death, is not that often. It's not the people I care about in this case. It's the animals. You know, and by the way, this was one of the smallish bulls. He was just over a ton. His name was Cappuccino, right? But the fact of the matter is, you've got mobs of insane people torturing these thundering beasts. And what happened here is one of the bulls strayed from the pack, got spooked and charged at anything that moved. And this was the first fatality in 15 years because the rogue bull gored a young Spaniard in the neck. And the victim was killed almost instantly as he scurried for cover under a wooden barrier, sliding under it feet first. So there it is. There he is. They say had he dived head first, the experienced bull runner and son of a Pamplo native would probably still be alive. 9 people injured, etc. So the running of the bulls, made famous by Hemingway's novel The Sun Also Rises, you know, is what it is. Everyone thinks they're Hemingway when they get drunk and run down there. But I feel bad for the bull Cappuccino because they torture them, by the way. After torturing them with the picadors and then killing them, before they kill them, they torture the poor animal, you know. So what do you think about that?
It's horrible, and I think it should be banned. And as I said, I am very pleased that somebody was killed. Every year.
Well, I can't say I'm pleased somebody was killed. What does that make us if we say we're pleased? I don't think we should say it's great. But on the other hand, the sport itself is what needs to be looked at. You know, thank you for the call. Jim in San Diego, you like bullfighting. Welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I do like bullfighting. And my goal is not to convert anybody to liking bullfighting. But there's a little more to it. Quite a bit more to it than I think your opening comments were. For one thing, the idea that it started with the Moors is a very dubious history. There's history.
Well, hold on now. Just because you're using a dubious, That's a three-syllable word. Doesn't make you three times as correct.
To be used as a way for soldiers to practice their horsemanship and their war techniques from horseback.
Well, I can cite my reference to the fact that the Arabs or the Moors introduced bullfighting to Spain, but let's deal with that at a separate time, since we can argue over that. And both of us might be wrong, by the way, or both of us might be right in one way or another. What is it about bullfighting that you find noble?
Okay, what I think it is, you know, we live in a world that has become so much a nanny state that any kind of a risk is completely prohibited. You know, we're required to wear...
Wait a minute, I don't care about the risk. I don't care about the risk to the bullfighter. I care about the torturing of the bull. Here's what's on michaelsavage.com, America's favorite. Well, I can't say favorite, just one of America's best websites. Even the leftist Pew Hispanic Center, can you imagine that? Pew, the Pew Hispanic Center, what's that? What about a Pew Caucasian Center? Would that go over? Would that work? I don't think so. Why can they get away with a thing called a Pew Hispanic Center? Isn't that sort of racist? Well, even they're admitting that the illegal aliens in California are draining the state dry. Oh, they try to spin it, but read the article. The real big story from yesterday is the picture of Obama ogling a 16-year-old's behind. And I wrote, Obama caught ogling a child. What class? Of course, all of the media in America is covering up and saying he was just watching his own step. Oh, sure. You remember what I said yesterday with this going on in the White House with his daughter wearing a T-shirt? Walking around with appears to be a gangbanger at the G8 summit. What in the world if, let us say, another president had a family acting like this? Would you say the Beverly Hillbillies? Yeah, I guess. Down on the left, we have on michaelsavage.com, Geert Wilders, the next Dutch PM. Who's he? Why, he's the man known for his worldwide views on Islam taking over Scandinavia. He was vilified by the British, who banned him from the UK. And guess what? He's running for the prime minister's job. Hey! Hey, California, here I come. Don't miss Ellis Washington's article, J'accuse England, J'accuse America, where he compares Michael Savage to who? You'll have to read it to find out. Wes Pruden, as usual, writes a fabulous article about Obama entitled, Ministry of Apology Would Cure All Ills. We're going to talk about that in detail. Korea diplomats are protesting Obama appointments. Obama is the first president to greet Muammar Gaddafi. And, of course, it was more than a handshake, because this way he reaches out to world's terrorist leaders, thinking that by making nice, they're going to be nice. And on the bottom of michaelsavage.com, we have an article from the Associated Press of the running of the bulls in Pamplona, where a young man got killed. I'm sorry for the young man, but I say it's time to end this barbaric torture. Leave the damn bulls alone. This is the Savage Nation. Be sure to visit michaelsavage.com.
Savage.